Hello, everyone, and welcome to another podcast brought to you by AIRS LA. That's the audio internet rating service of Los Angeles. My name is Nancy Porter, and it's usually on my podcast I will be reading Time magazine. However, Time is no longer published on a weekly basis, so there are not as many Time magazines to choose from. So we're going to take a break this week, and I'm going to do something very different. I have chosen a very lengthy expose article from the Los Angeles Times. It's a health issue. Headline. This is from the Monday, March 10th, 2025 edition of LA Times. And this comes from the New York Times, from the world of health. Headline, organ transplant system is in chaos as waiting lists are ignored. By age 15, Marcus Parr had been waiting most of his life for a new kidney, and he knew the drill. 3 days a week in exhausting dialysis sessions, no playing sports, no eating his favorite foods, and in nearly a decade on the transplant list, no luck getting an organ. Then, last spring, his doctor called. There was a perfect match. Marcus was at the top of the waiting list, the first in line. But the kidney didn't go to him, or to the next person on the list, or the next. It went to a middle-aged man 3,357 spots further down. That's because, in more and more cases, the list is a lie. For decades, fairness has been the guiding principle of the American organ transplant system. Its bedrock, a national registry, operates under strict federal rules meant to ensure that donated organs are offered to the patients who need them most, in careful order of priority. But today, officials regularly ignore the rankings, leapfrogging over hundreds or even thousands of people when they give out kidneys, livers, lungs, and hearts. These organs often go to recipients who are not as sick, have not been waiting nearly as long, and in some cases are not on the list at all, a New York Times investigation found. Last year, officials skipped patients on the waiting lists for nearly 20% of transplants from deceased donors, six times as often as a few years earlier. It is a profound shift in the transplant system, whose promise of equality has become increasingly warped by expediency and favoritism. Under government pressure to place more organs, the nonprofit organizations that manage donations are routinely prioritizing ease over fairness. They use shortcuts to steer organs to selected hospitals, which jockey to get better access than their competitors. These hospitals have extraordinary freedom to decide which of their patients receive transplants, regardless of where they rank on the waiting lists. Some have quietly created separate hot lists of preferred candidates. They are making a mockery of the allocation system, said Dr. Sumit Mohan, a kidney specialist and researcher at Columbia University. It's shocking, and it's going to destroy trust in the system. Patients can wait months or years for an organ as their health declines, rarely told where they sit on a transplant list, and not knowing whether they have ever been skipped. They just don't get the call that can mean the difference between, literally, life and death. Over the past 5 years, more than 1,200 people died after they got close to the top of a waiting list but were skipped, the Times found. It is possible that their doctors would have decided the organ wasn't a good fit for them, but they were denied even a chance to find out. One of those people was Corey Field, a Minnesota grocer who was 10th on a list for a liver when he was skipped in 2023. It was his last chance. He died 2 months later. His wife, Laura Field, was shaken after learning from the Times what had happened. It's not that her husband was entitled to an organ, she said, but he had deserved a fair shot. Corey was not just a number in a database, Lauren Field said. He was a good husband, father, grandfather, son, brother, and a friend. His life mattered. More than 100,000 people are waiting for an organ in the United States, and their fates rest largely on nonprofits called organ procurement organizations. Every state has at least one, and they have government contracts to identify donors, recover organs, and distribute them to patients. When an organ becomes available, an algorithm identifies the eligible patients who have compatible blood types and other matching traits, like height and weight. Those patients are then ranked on a list, with priority given to people who are sicker, have been waiting longer, and are nearby, among other factors. The procurement organization is supposed to offer the organ to the doctor for the first patient on the list, but the algorithms can't necessarily identify exact matches, only possible ones. So doctors often say no, citing reason like the donor's age or the size of the organ. If that happens, the organization is supposed to keep ticking down the list until the organ is accepted. This process repeats about 200 times a day across the country, with a new list created for every donated organ. Until recently, organizations nearly always followed the list. On the rare occasions when they went out of order and gave the organ to someone else, the decision was examined by the United Network for Organ Sharing, the federal contractor that oversees the transplant system, and a peer review committee. Ignoring the list was allowed only as a last resort to avoid wasting an organ. Now, however, skipping patients is so common that UNOs and the committee are too overwhelmed to examine each case closely. The leaders of procurement organizations acknowledged to the Times that they sometimes deviated from waiting lists, but they said they did it to save lives. They said there is an inherent tension in the transplant system. Procurement organizations are being squeezed by the government to place more organs, while hospitals, which are judged on patient outcomes, routinely reject them. So organs deteriorate while doctor after doctor declines them. Skipping patients is a necessary, if imperfect, solution, they said. Expedited placement is problematic because it means that we're not following the list that the patients and the public believe that we are. But it speaks to the desperation of making sure that organ gets transplanted into somebody, said Dory Dills, president of the association representing most of the country's 55 procurement organizations. She and others said they break from the lists only to place lower quality organs that have been repeatedly rejected. But data shows that is often not the case. The Times analyzed more than 500,000 transplants performed since 2004 and found that procurement organizations regularly ignore waiting lists even when distributing higher quality organs. Last year, 37% of the kidneys allocated outside the normal process were scored as above average. Other organs are not scored in the same way, but donor age is often used as a proxy for quality, and data show there is little difference in the age of organs allocated normally compared with those that are not. And while many people in the transplant community believe ignoring lists is reducing organ wastage, there is no evidence that is true, according to an unreleased report by a group of doctors and researchers asked by the transplant system last year to study the practice. Last month, after receiving a summary of the Times findings, the Federal Health Resources and Services Administration, which oversees the UNO's contract, said that procurement organizations should not be allowed to ignore waiting lists and ordered increased oversight. The Times analysis also found that skipping patients is exacerbating disparities in health care. When lists are ignored, transplants disproportionately go to white and Asian patients and college graduates. We have violated our own principles. We have violated transparency and trust in the system, Dr. Nicole Turgeon of the University of Texas at Austin told a crowd at the most recent American Transplant Congress, a large annual gathering. Everyone's really trying to do the right thing. I honestly believe that. But we have a system in chaos. Routine shortcut. In 2020, procurement organizations felt under attack. Congress was criticizing them for letting too many organs go to waste. Regulators moved to give each organization a grade and, starting in 2026, fire the lowest performers. They scrambled to respond. They assigned more staff to hospitals to identify donors, grew more aggressive with families, and recovered more organs from older or sicker donors. Those steps increased donations and transplants, dozens of employees said. Both hit record highs last year when there were 41,115 transplants. At the same time, the organizations increasingly used a shortcut known as an open offer. Open offers are remarkably efficient. Officials choose a hospital and allow it to put the organ into any patient. The Times analysis found thousands of examples in the last 5 years. In Los Angeles, in 2023, for instance, the procurement organization One Legacy resorted to an open offer for a heart after trying only the first two patients on the waiting list. It chose Keck Medical Center of USC, which gave the heart to the 115th patient on the list, a woman in her late 50s who was stable and healthier than dozens of people higher up, records show. The eighth person on the list was Damon Galt. He was 55, ran a brewery in Northern California, and after decades of cardiac problems, had been hospitalized for months, hoping for a new heart. Galt died 6 weeks later. His fiancée, Jennifer Sakai, was stunned when the Times told her he had been skipped over. "That's not fair," she said. "There's a system in place to ensure that people have that opportunity, and they're obviously failing." In a statement, One Legacy said it had allocated the donor's other organs and had less than 12 hours to find a recipient for the heart before the planned removal. It chose Keck because the hospital was already sending a surgeon to take the lungs. Keck said the patients at its hospital who were higher on the list were not good matches for the heart. Historically, procurement organizations used open offers in only about 2% of cases, the Times found. Virtually all organizations now skip patients at least 10% of the time, almost always through open offers. A few do it more than 30%. Watchdogs fall short. Federal regulators have known since 2022 that more people were being skipped, according to meeting notes obtained by the Times. But until last week, they had done little to address it. The U.S. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services monitors hospitals and procurement organizations. The Health Resources and Services Administration tracks the system overall. But for years, they deferred to UNOs. Records show that when the system's oversight committee reviews instances of bypassed patients, it closes more than 99.5% of cases without action, usually concluding that the organ was at risk of going to waste. In the last 5 years, the committee has never gone further than sending notices of noncompliance, the mildest action it can take. The oversight is almost non-existent, and that has been true basically forever, said Dr. Seth Karp, a Vanderbilt University surgeon who served on the committee, which he noted is largely made up of transplant doctors and procurement officers policing themselves. Dr. Richard Formica, a Yale University surgeon who is president of the transplant system, said the committee members were volunteers who did their best. He said it was difficult for them to determine the motivations behind out-of-sequence allocations. Some procurement organizations complicate oversight by obscuring their open offers, according to current or former employees at 14 different organizations. Many said they phoned doctors directly, so the details of open offers were not documented in the centralized computer system. Several said they logged an offer in the system only if the organ was successfully placed, making the practice look more effective. Others said they always entered time constraints as the reason for skipping patients, even if that was false. Because of this, it is impossible to gauge whether line skipping prevents wasted organs, but data suggest it does not. As use of the practice has soared, the rate of organs being discarded is also increasing. If we were doing this and the discard rate was going down, then we could say, well, there are some trade-offs. It may introduce racial and socioeconomic inequities. But we should look at it, said Dr. Pastan, a transplant medical director at Emory University Hospital. But that's not what is happening. The kidney that could have helped Marcus Edsel Parr was donated by a man in his 20s who died in Texas last April. It was in exceptional condition, records show. Marcus's doctors at University of Michigan Health, Michael Engelby and Meredith Barrett, became excited. They had gotten to know Marcus and his parents, Keith Edsel, a veterinarian, and Alice Parr, a veterinary technician. Marcus, who was adopted at age 5, had had kidney problems and developmental delays since infancy. Marcus was rarely a match for transplants because testing suggested that his antibodies would reject almost any new organ. His doctors had declined other kidneys, determining they weren't good fits. This was the most promising one yet. The University of Illinois Hospital Transplantation Program had first dibs on the kidney for a multi-organ transplant. But those special priority operations often fall through, which made it likely that allocation would shift to the regular list topped by Marcus. Engelsby told Marcus to hurry to the hospital. He called the Texas procurement organization, LifeGift, and the Illinois hospital to say he wanted the kidney. He offered to pick it up himself. Soon after the kidney arrived in Illinois, the multi-organ operation was canceled. Under the transplant system's rules, LifeGift was supposed to offer the kidney to Marcus. It had time. The organ had been outside the donor's body for just 10 hours. But instead, it gave an open offer to the Illinois hospital. This was not unusual. Last year, records show LifeGift skipped patients for 29% of kidney transplants. Engelsby found out hours later when the surgeons were already transplanting the kidney into a man in his 40s who had been waiting less than 6 months. The doctor told Marcus and Edsel, who began sobbing. They drove home. Edsel learned the full story months later from the Times. She was glad the kidney had been used, but she could not help feeling angry. What made them decide Marcus wasn't good enough for that kidney, she said. What was the deciding factor so that somebody said this man deserves it more than he does? In an interview, Kevin Meyer, the chief executive of LifeGift, said the organization had acted in good faith to place the kidney. It's really tragic that Marcus did not get this kidney because of the system, not because of our inattention or intention to bypass Marcus or anything like that, he said. Do I feel terrible that he didn't get his opportunity? Yes, frankly. The University of Illinois said allocation was LifeGift's responsibility. Marcus eventually got a transplant from a donor who died in Arizona last June, but the kidney was less compatible and in worse condition than the one he had missed out on. He still has to spend 2 days a week at dialysis, where a machine filters toxins from his blood. If his kidney functioning does not improve, Marcus may go back on the transplant list. His parents know he cannot survive on dialysis forever. His doctors are still furious. "We've built this system to try to be fair to people, and this just seems so unfair," Barrett said, adding, "We followed the rules, and the rules didn't seem to apply for him." The doctors filed a complaint about the incident. They got no response. And that was written by Brian Rosenthal, Mark Hansen, and Jeremy White, originally in the New York Times. I would like to finish with something very, very different. I think everybody agrees that we live in interesting or fractious or divided or desperate or whatever adjective you like times. And this comes from a current Dear Abby column. A poem about forgiveness continues to resonate. "The message is much needed at this time. It is very timely. I believe in doing unto others as you would have them do unto you," said the writer. "Please reprint the poem because to me it's a treasure." And here is the poem, which I think can resonate for all of us. "Decide to Forgive" by Robert Mueller. Decide to forgive, for resentment is negative. Resentment is poisonous. Resentment diminishes and devours the self. Be the first to forgive, to smile, and to take the first step, and you will see happiness bloom on the face of your human brother or sister. Be always the first. Do not wait for others to forgive. For by forgiving, you become the master of fate, the fashioner of life, a doer of miracles. To forgive is the highest, most beautiful form of love. In return, you will receive untold peace and happiness. And here is the program for achieving a truly forgiving heart. On Sunday, forgive yourself. On Monday, forgive your family. On Tuesday, forgive your friends and associates. On Wednesday, forgive across economic lines within your own nation. On Thursday, forgive across cultural lines within your own nation. On Friday, forgive across political lines within your own nation. On Saturday, forgive other nations. Only the brave know how to forgive. Cowards never forgive. It is not in their nature. And that will conclude our recording session for the Audio Internet Reading Service of Los Angeles for this time. I need to remind you that you have been listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Items read on Airs LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. My name is Nancy Porter, and it has been my pleasure and honor to record for you today.